In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Thursday, everybody. The Trump train. Get on board, folks, and get your friends and family on board as well. Run it all the way through the election in November. We need all the help we can get. Impossible question yesterday. Here is the answer. People in the U.S. throw out 29 million of these every day. 29 million. That's a lot, by the way. Answer is slice of bread. 29 million slices of bread get thrown away every day, which Charlie said yesterday, because we kind of talked about the answer because I looked ahead. That could be from folks not wanting the carbs, could be the heels, could be lots of reasons, but folks, that's a lot of bread to get thrown out on a daily basis. So anytime you think we can't feed the world, you know what? That's just what we throw out in one area, not counting all the other food items we throw out on top of that. So there's your question of the day yesterday. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 73% of men think having this makes them more attractive, but only 40% of women agree. If Dan was still around here, I would say hair. I don't know if I'm right. Dan, sorry. 73% of men think this makes them more attractive, but only 40% of women agree. Here's some ideas. Brand shirts, a mustache, a new phone. That one I don't understand. Why would a new phone make you more attractive? Or a necklace. I've never been have you ever been a necklace wearer, Charlie, the jewelry kind of guy? You know, the necklace or, you know, the one earring or, you know, even the, like, the gold wristbands and, you know, kind of the bling. You know, not that guy, Charlie? Not me neither. I've never been the necklace. And by the way, not knocking anybody that does. If you're a guy and you want to wear a necklace, knock yourself out. I've never been. I don't know why, Charlie. I think it's Charlie and I's upbringing. I think it's our upbringing as to why we don't wear a lot of fancy jewelry. Because it was sort of, and I know a lot of you would have to research how Charlie and I were raised and all that. But trust me when I say this. Because of the way Charlie and I were raised, you don't wear bling. A watch is fine. And that was probably a watch and a ring when Charlie and I were, you know, kids growing up. That was about the extent of what men probably were allowed to really wear and not be frowned upon. Am I right, Charlie? Yeah, a wristwatch. Exactly. A wristwatch, a ring. And that was about it. If you had any other bling that you were wearing, you were pretty much looked on as being worldly. Right, Charlie? Am I saying that right? You were worldly. We wanted to be modest, not worldly. Now, does the porn stash, you know, the mustache, that's what it says here, that maybe, you know, men think that makes them look more attractive. So I don't know the answer to this, by the way. I've never really thought through this. I was going to make fun of Dan if he was here just by saying hair. Maybe I'm right or wrong. I don't know. But 73% of men think heavy. I'm going to say hair. Because I think most men think if you have hair, you're more attractive. And I've heard women say it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I don't think most women care when it comes to whether you have hair or don't have hair. So I'm going to say hair. I don't know if I'm right, wrong, or otherwise. Go to the KLZ 560 Facebook page and answer that question for yourself. You can text us an answer as well at 307-200-8222. 307-200-8222. All right, on to the Darwin Award winner of the week. Steve House will be joining us here at 3:30. And we've got a lot of guests for you today as well. So stay tuned, buckle up. We got a lot going on. Judge Jeanine will be joining us at the 4 o'clock hour as well with her new book. We got a lot in store for you. So, Darwin Award winner goes today to none other than Boulder County. Yes, my home county. So, I can make fun of Boulder County and probably Boulder more than anyone can. Why? Because you can always make fun of a place you used to live more than if you never lived there because you're a native of that area and you know more about it than most. So if you want to make fun of it, go for it. That's how I see it. And I can make fun of Boulder anytime I want to. And I am in this case. They are issuing orders to halt gatherings for college-aged Boulder residents. That has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Boulder County, home of CU Boulder, is now issuing orders that halt gatherings for college-age residents. All I can say is I hope a lot of the liberal kids and their families that have sent them there will look at these stupid, idiotic liberal policies and think twice about what they do when they vote in just a few weeks. Boulder County has issued an order halting all gatherings for Boulder residents between the ages of 18 and 22. So I guess, Charlie, if you're 23, you can go to a gathering. But 18 to 22, COVID is so smart. It knows that 18 to 22, man, that's a high infection rate there. And you know what? We better just not have them meet. They've issued stay-at-home orders to more than 30 University Hill. That's the hill in Boulder, if you don't know where that is. Up off of Broadway, residences to help stop the spread of the virus, which has surged in that age group since the start of the University of Colorado Boulder semester. And by the way, I don't care if it's surging. I'm one of those guys that I just don't care. Beat me up over it. I don't care. To me, it's a non-issue. Let that age, if they want to get the virus, more power to them. In fact, I think that's part of what we need to help stop it down the road. So you know what? I'm all for them meeting and getting together and having frat parties and whatever else they do and having it spread around. Go for it. According to the order, which takes effect at 4 p.m. today, anyone 18 to 22 years of old or anyone 18 to 22 years old anywhere in the city of Boulder may not participate in gatherings of any size, whether indoors, outdoors, off or on campus with any individuals of any age. So if you're 18 to 22, you better just stay home and play video games. You're not allowed to do anything. Folks, this is the most draconian, stupid thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And that's why today's Darwin Award winner goes to Boulder in this stupid thing they just came out with. I keep saying stupid because it is the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The liberal eye of the week, moving right along. This is on CNN today. Trump refuses to commit to a peaceful transition of power after Election Day. By the way, nowhere, no place, no time has he ever said that. What he has said is, let's see how things play out. In other words, I don't think I'm going to lose. Joe Biden won't win. There's not going to have to be any transition of power. So no, I'm not worried about it, and I'm not going to even talk about it because it's a non-issue. That's what Donald Trump is saying. The press, though, the liberal eye of the week is, they're trying to play this up as Trump's not going to commit to a transition. Folks, there's not going to be one anyways. There's nothing to commit to. And that's what Donald Trump is trying to say. Again, the libs and the left will twist anything around they possibly can to say anything they want their particular mantra to say, and that's what they're doing here. That's why this is the liberal lie of the week. Those are my two. By the way, if you've ever got a liberal lie of the week or a Darwin Award you want to send in, feel free to do so. Just go to the website, rushtoreason.com, and we'll talk about it. Mighty Hand Construction, folks, is next. And at Mighty Hand, they can do windows, siding, roof, an expansion, a shop, whatever, you name it. Mighty Hand can do it, and it's easy. Just go to klzradio.com or call 970-844-9191.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Florida Buttress Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, and he can help you with some of those projects around the house that Mighty Hand can take care of for you. Just ask him how. You can do a cash-out refi, you name it, he'll help you, including even an additional home if you'd like, or a complete refi, like I said a moment ago. 720-895-0500, that's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Casey Hammond joining us now, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Land and Minerals Management. He's exercising the authority of the Assistant Secretary. Casey, welcome to Rush to Reason. And are you in Colorado now or later this week?
I am, John. I'm in Grand Junction right now.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on air with us, and yeah, you've been to Colorado before, but welcome to Colorado. Grand Junction's a great area.
Thank you. It is. I'm ecstatic to be here. Your lack of humidity is always inviting, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
That is a great plus. Although, and this is what we're going to talk about, it doesn't always bode well when it comes to fighting forest fires, which is part of why you're here.
That is true. You're correct, and I was out here particularly looking at the Pine Gulch fire. I know that it was a devastating fire out here, 139,000 acres.
Right.
And burned for a long time. And I know it caused a lot of air issues, but I wanted to get a better look on the ground of how that developed and what we can do better in the future.
Well, and President Trump has committed to, and of course the administration has committed to fighting, you know, fires and doing the things that it takes in that particular area. You know, I guess a question for you, what is it you guys are going to be looking at? What suggestions are you going to have for, you know, states like Colorado when it comes to, you know, mitigating and fighting these fires, you know, down the road? You know, what all is it you're going to take back to Washington to help us?
Sure. So the most important thing, I think, in federal government is prioritization. And the president, and through his strong leadership, has made this fairly easy on us because he's not going to accept failure in the future. He's given us very specific instructions to address this situation.
Okay.
That's been very helpful for someone like me that tries to then relay those priorities in terms of numbers and actual on-the-ground field treatment that we're going to accomplish. So that's our big charge from the president, is to go out and aggressively treat these fuels that have built up. That helps us in so many ways. It helps us when fires do start, helps us knock them down before they become too great, and helps us stay ahead in the future. So so the air stays cleaner and the environment stays healthier, and the habitat stays in a place where it's going to benefit your hunters and your sportsmen and other folks who like to be outdoors recreating.
Well, and as you know, too, here in Colorado, not all parts of Colorado, but we've got pretty good swaths of area in the state where the beetle kill, and the pine beetle seems like it's one of those things here in Colorado. I mean, I'm a native, Casey. I've been here my whole life, and I can remember a big surge we had, you know, back in the 70s. We had another one, I believe, in the, I want to say, right around the 90s or so, and then we've had another one here just recently. So one of those things where it just seems to cycle through, and as you know from looking, it's devastating to particular forests that we have, you know, here in Colorado. What do you guys have any plans when it comes to the thinning out, even in some of the areas where we've had a lot of beetle kill, which contributes to a lot of what we've had with fires?
Sure. So there's a couple of things we're trying to do, and it involves management. As you've seen in the past, it can take years to put together a timber cut sometimes, and those things can be litigated. So what we're doing is developing tools, and these tools in particular are called categorical exclusions,
okay,
where we take experience from the past and say, we don't need to do an 8-year study to determine whether or not this is beneficial to the environment. We can build on those things and do a categorical exclusion under NEPA and move quickly to address several thousand acres at one time, whether that's salvage of beetle kill or traditional timber sales or something similar to that.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, to me, that's a big, and again, I don't know what it's like in other states. I know here in Colorado, that's a big deal. And I know every state has its own issues. And Casey, correct me if I'm wrong, but certain states have certain ways of already doing some of that mitigation. And I guess that's a question I'm going to ask you. Is that something where, and I realize that states have rights, we want to do things on our own, but I also know that there can be coordinated effort when it comes to some of the things we're talking about with fire mitigation and so on. Is the federal government going to try to give some more guidance? And if so, how does that get implemented when it comes to the how do I want to say this, the mitigation on the front side of fires? In other words, taking away some of that fuel, the underbrush, the growth, things that could actually fuel a fire. Is there going to be things coming from the federal government in that realm to where states have a more unified approach to how they do this?
Sure, and you're absolutely right. You have this checkerboard pattern of land ownership across the West, and to just address one section of that does some good, but it doesn't have that continuous benefit that you would have if you united across those boundaries. So we're always working with our state partners and our local partners to, for example, if we're building a fuel break, to work with that private landowner, with that state landowner, or with that county, so we can continue a fuel break through the range.
Gotcha.
And through the landscape, so it has that beneficial beneficial use across a wider range.
One of the things that's been brought up, and we've talked about it here on our program before outside of you guys from the Department of Interior, but the question I've got for you, Casey, is when it comes to once a fire is, and by the way, everything we just got done talking about is the pre-fire end of things. How do we actually mitigate? How do we make things work when a fire does break out? How do we, you know, break those lines or, you know, set those lines where that fire doesn't continue and so on? But the question I've got is when the fire has broken out and we need, you know, tankers. I live over on the west side of town. I can see the tankers flying over when we've got actual fires that have started. Is there going to be in the future any type of a coordinated, you know, federal effort to put more of those larger tankers online to whereby we can put more fire out at a single time in a single pass, where right now, to me, again, it's sort of a patchwork of approach that we've got in even fighting fires with aircraft?
Sure, you're right that the tankers and the aircraft are so important. It's dangerous work. We've lost 3 pilots this year to tragic accidents. It's dangerous work, and it takes a lot of coordination. But what we've done is worked across agencies with the Forest Service, so that we can jump over those administrative boundaries and help each other out when there's a fire. We do the same thing with state and locals on the ground. Just one example, one thing we do with some of our equipment, with our trucks, for example, when it reaches a certain point in its lifespan, we give those to local governments. We've done that here in Colorado. So that initial attack on the ground mm-hmm. can happen rapidly and immediately. And in many cases, then you don't even need to call in federal assets
right,
because your
right.
local folks will have already dealt with that.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's funny. I was watching, and not because you were coming on today, but it happened to be on TV last night. I was scrolling through things. It was late. I'd done a bunch of work. I was kind of wanting to just veg out for a few minutes, and Only the Brave is on. So I ended up watching, I don't know, about half of that movie, which most people listening, if you're not familiar with it, go watch it. It's a great movie, and it is about the very thing that we're talking about, and it's coincidental that it was on last night and I was watching that, Casey, but really, that's what that movie is about is, you know, I mean, it's about a lot of things. In fact, you know, folks that even lost their lives doing what we're talking about. But it is about getting on things on the front side, having the resources mm-hmm. in your own community where you're not relying on other agencies, even the federal government, to come in and help. That's what that movie's about.
Yes, yes. And one thing I saw at Pine Gulch in particular, just how remote that landscape is and how much fuel had built up. So the sooner you can get out there, get out to those remote areas and knock it down, the better success you're going to have. It just so happened with this fire. Access was difficult. It's steep, rugged terrain. And so you can see how it made it to 139,000 acres.
Yeah.
All in all, though, I think our teams performed very well. And you were dealing with difficult circumstances, unusual fire behavior, aggressive fire behavior. And they rose to the occasion and got it knocked down.
I do have a call coming in with a question for you, Casey. You want to take a call?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Dennis in Denver, you're on with Casey Hammond.
Thanks for taking my call. I hear you talking about forest management, and the suggestions have all been, you know, cutting down beetle kill, those kinds of things. Can the federal government step in, especially with some of these more liberal states, and say, hey, we're going to do controlled burns on federal land? Because everything I've ever heard is that a large fire, well, a controlled fire is the best renewal of a forest and something that needs to be done, but hasn't been for years.
Great question. I'm going to let you go, Dennis. It's easier to hear with one at a time. Casey, can you answer that one?
So Dennis is right. The fire is a very natural part of our environment. It's necessary.
Yes.
Unfortunately, what happened several decades ago is we became very efficient and very effective at putting out fires.
Agree.
Naturally.
Agree.
And that's a smart thing to do, to put out fires. It goes without saying. But the fire also needs... the forest also needs to go through.
Well, and to stop you for a second real quick, Casey, I want to make sure I remind everybody that back in the day when the Indians roamed this land, and there's a lot of talk along those lines, I'm not going to get all the politics involved there, but let's face it, back in the day, the Indians on purpose set fires, much to the reasons that you're talking about, because they knew that it rejuvenated the land, it helped animals, it helped them. It was a good thing, and yet we've gone completely the other direction, and we're not doing much of that anymore.
You know, you're right. We do prescribed burns. They're well organized. You have to be careful about when you do them, very specific times of the year.
Correct.
So the federal government, BLM in particular, does that. But just to be efficient and rapid, you also have to get out there and cut. Sometimes areas are too overgrown to go in there and burn them. So you're going to have to go in there and thin it out, and that's just responsible management.
Well, and back to Dennis's comments a moment ago, I feel like, and I know where he's coming from, in a lot of cases, those things aren't getting done because there are certain sections of the population that feel like that's not the way to actually properly handle the forest, when in fact it is. And then we start getting into a lot of these political rifts that go on, Casey, and at the end of the day, we fight politically, and yet the land doesn't get managed correctly.
Right. No, you're correct. I've seen even in California, though, California is actually my home state, so I won't knock it too hard. But even in California, where they've had devastating fires the last several years, they've now come around to the fact that you have to manage your forest.
Gotcha.
It's unfortunate it's taken this much to get to that point, but people are coming to realize that forest and range are places you have to manage. You can't just forget about them and hope for the best.
Well said. Well, and I know one thing that, President Trump did, and I know there's some very instrumental individuals even here in our state, Cory Gardner being one of those that actually got the BLM office moved over to Grand Junction, which, by the way, much better being there than it was previous. So congratulations to everyone on that. And I know the Department of Interior had a lot to do with that as well. So thank you guys for doing that. But it's got to be a joy to come and go to the place where you can actually then, in a very short drive, see all of the things that you're talking about, Casey.
You're absolutely right. So it's very satisfying to me. I actually rolled out the move west 14 months ago to the employees in D.C. And so to be here 14 months later in that office in Grand Junction right now with our great employees and our leadership structure here is really exciting and really satisfying. It's so important that people be on the ground.
Yeah, well said.
Like I had to fly all out here. I had to fly all the way out here and then take a decent drive, which I enjoyed, to go out there and see Pine Gulch and the fire. But how much better is it that you have your BLM employees already here in the West?
Right.
If something happens in Idaho, that's a really short flight. If something's in Utah, it's not that far of a drive.
Right. Well
but
said.
Out here and accessible and among your citizens of Colorado.
Well said. Well said. Casey Hammond, again, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Land and Mineral Management, exercising the authority of the Assistant Secretary. I know it's a long title, but that's what it is. Casey, I appreciate you joining us. You guys are welcome anytime. I appreciate you joining us and getting us the information. It really does help all of us in Colorado.
Great. Thank you, John. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Casey. Have a great evening, and we appreciate that very much. Department of Interior, by the way. And again, we appreciate all the reaching out that they do here on Rush to Reason. We've got a great contact in the Department of Interior. They reach out to us on a regular basis and a lot of White House staff in general, and we appreciate that very much. So Steve House should be joining us here in a moment. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come right back. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. And, you know, much like we were talking about a moment ago with the forest and planning and getting things dialed in, the same needs to go on in your own life, your own personal life, when it comes to what you leave behind. Give Michael a call today at 720-394-6887 or find him at klzradio.com.
When Michael Bailey creates your estate plan, you only talk to Michael Bailey the whole time. You don't need to press zero for the operator when you call Michael Bailey Law Office, because Michael Bailey himself answers the phone every time. Michael Bailey personally ensures the accuracy of your legal documents, and Michael Bailey remains available to answer all your legal questions. Choose KLZ's mobile estate planner and only talk to the attorney. KLZradio.com/estate.
All right, up next, it's Save the Children. And you know what? Right now, Barber's Foods, if you just put a little plug in for them, if you order anything from Barber's Foods and use the Save 5 discount at the end, they're giving 5% to Save the Children. That's what they're doing to help feed kids around the world. You could do the same thing. In fact, a lot of you businesses could have the same type of a promotion inside of your own business. I encourage you, go to SaveChildrenKLZ.org, donate today, or call 1-800-570-5155.
You know, there are millions of kids right now who are living in poverty. As a matter of fact, one out of every five kids in America today is in poverty. And many of those families are the families of our veterans, men and women who have served us in the military. Our friends at Save the Children are standing in the gap for these veterans who know what it's like to deal with unexpected situations in the battlefield. But then you come home and you've got school closures and isolation, can't get to your doctor's appointments. That puts an extra layer of stress on families who already have a lot to deal with. That's where Save the Children can help. Helping children of wounded veterans. Just one example of the vulnerable and often overlooked and forgotten kids right here at home that Save the Children represents. Now, it's really very basic. You give a $100 donation to Save the Children today, and that will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days. Just $100 can do that. A $300 donation can provide that same child with food for an entire month. Go to Save Children KLZ right now and make sure that these kids don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. That's SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
Vote. It's a sacred right to vote and a sacred responsibility to understand the issues before you vote. Kim Munson here. Friday, author and blogger Rick Turnquist joins me to introduce our Voter's Guide for 2020. We have thoroughly researched each ballot proposition and amendment and will explain our thought process in arriving at our recommendations. Plus, CD7 candidate Casper Stockham shares the latest from his campaign trail. Kim Munson show partners Lauren Levy and Karen Levine update us on their markets. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560. American.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Steve House now joining us, candidate for CD6. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing good. And, you know, the more I listen to the words Rush to Reason, I think that you're going to have to take that moniker and play it out over the next 3 or 4 years for people to get the fact that we got to get reasonable again.
Yeah.
It's crazy right now.
No, it sure is. After watching even things last night, Steve, after the, you know, the announcement of the, you know, the situation in Kentucky, you watch what happened here in Colorado even. And first thoughts are, okay, I get that some folks don't like the verdict and what came out and so on. I understand that. But is rioting and protesting in Denver, Steve, going to change what's going on in Kentucky?
No, I think it's more about them, you know, voicing their, I guess, their displeasure about the continuation in their minds of what's happening. I mean, the Breonna Taylor thing was so harsh, so difficult. I mean, you know, I haven't looked at the case close enough to give you an honest opinion about it, but I just can't imagine that no one will be held responsible for that ultimately. I mean, I know mistakes happen, but when people die, that's a tough one, John.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, here's my take on that. And I like you, haven't studied every single facet of it other than when the shooting starts, bad stuff's going to happen. And the shooting didn't start from the police first. I do know that much. And there's been enough review of all of that to know that. And not passing judgment, but all I'm saying is, you know, my folks used to always tell me, you are who you hang out with. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, you're right. I mean, it was the individual, the man that started shooting on the other side, and the police were, you know, in a defensive posture, you know, shooting back. It's just, it's tough. It's just tough. You're right.
It is. It's a tough situation. But, again, not passing judgment, but I raise my kids the same way. You are who you hang out with. And the reality is, don't hang out with people where no-knock raids happen because they think there's going to be drugs in the house and shooting starts on your side back at the cops. I mean, to me, that common sense just said, don't put yourself in that situation, Steve. I'm sorry, but I'm not passing judgment, but come on. At some point in time, even when it comes to these rioters and protesters, when is personal accountability going to come back into the scenario?
Well, it's not happening yet. It's going to have to happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
And thank you. I watched last night, and I realize there's stuff that gets fed to me from all over the place, and you know, it's just what people do, and I get it. And people are frustrated on both sides of the aisle, Steve. But when people are trying to have a peaceful dinner, and there are protesters walking by that then see it fit upon themselves to go sit down at the very table these patrons are trying to have a nice, quiet dinner, and everybody comes over to the edge of the restaurant ranting and yelling and blowing trumpets and things along those lines right in the face of the patrons that are there. How is that a peaceful protest?
It's not.
And to me, Steve, just as a side note, I don't think these folks are helping out their cause any way, shape, or form. In fact, I think they're driving folks to vote for Trump when they do those things. I hate to say that, but that's what's happening.
Americans are more interested in safety now than they've ever been. And I think when you think about what that really means, right? So people don't feel safe. The number one job of the federal government and the state government and the local government are to keep us safe, right? That's their number one job. And we've taken it for granted for a long period of time. And now we don't have it anymore. You could be, you know, hurt in almost any situation that you'd be unaware of the fact that you were walking into it in any city in this country right now. And that's a big issue as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. No, I agree. I'm with you. And I understand that, you know, how should I say this? I understand that a lot of voters are looking for safety. And they're looking for safety to come from the government. And I get everything you just said, Steve. But I also will look at this, and I think this is part of what's happening right now as well, is some of these people are saying, wait a minute, if you can't keep me safe, then I'm going to take this job on myself. And as a side note, I think that's I think that's touchy ground that we get into when we start relying on certain individuals to keep things safe, because let's face it, they may not have the same skill set in making that happen that the guy next door has or that the state and feds have.
Yeah, no question about that. I think that's why people are looking for solutions that they probably would never have looked for before. That's why
gun sales are way up.
Buying ammo is because, yeah, it's like 5 month delays and all kinds of stuff now.
And by the way, I'm not saying I know you would be the same, Steve. It's everybody's right to go out, have their Second Amendment right, buy a gun, buy the ammo. And I get that. And I understand why people are. I guess where I'm at is I don't want to be in that place as a country that we're having to buy guns and ammo because we feel the anarchists are going to start taking over. At some point, we've got to get that under control and no longer have that quote-unquote anarchist type of events going on. And in some cases, they're being threatened upon even the suburban areas of town, not just the inner cities. And that, to me, is a problem.
Oh, I know. I mean, I literally ran into a couple the other day outside, and, you know, the lady recognized me, and she said, "Steve, I got a question for you." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Do you think there's going to be a civil war?" And I said, before I could even answer, her husband jumps in and says, "Honey, it's already happened." I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, look at all the skirmishes around the country. I mean, you know, little tiny battles are going on in all these locations. And, you know, everybody's forecasting a bad November 4th coming up. And, you know, when you can tell where the battles are and what's happening in the battles, and you can forecast the battles," he said, "you know, I fought in war. That sounds like war to me." And I'm like, "Gosh, I hope you're wrong about it." But, you know, he made a really compelling case for the fact that we've already started on this path.
Yeah. I hate to say that he's correct. And in a way we have, and there's been even, let's face it, Steve, there's even civil war in a way when it comes to even all of the COVID and the response and so on. I mean, I just announced before you came on top of the hour, you know, Boulder itself has now issued a decree that if you're 18 to 22 years of age, you can't have any type of a gathering whatsoever anywhere, any way, any shape, any form. And I look at that and I think to myself, first of all, that's draconian, and you're not going to have these kids obeying that. So how do you enforce that?
Well, the other question is, I think that's valid, right? And the other question is, you know, I talked to a principal of a high school just recently and said, "How's it going?" He said, "Well, you know, we just had 16 infections. You know, we're quarantining 64. And I said, "How many kids are sick?" He said, "None." So none of them have symptoms. No.
So why are we doing the quarantines? That's the thing I keep going back to, Steve, is why are we doing that? If there's nobody with any symptoms, why does it matter?
I understand. And I think that that's a very valid point. I think when you go back and look at, you know, Sweden is the model a lot of people look at. And the guys in Sweden are saying to us, "Look, guys, when you open up colleges, you know, colleges are full of adults. Those are not kids."
Right.
So you open up colleges, they're adults. You know, some of them are going to have symptoms, some are not. You're going to have infections. The question is, do they turn into hospitalizations and death? I looked at the numbers yesterday.
No.
Hospitalizations in the last 7 days are down 21 in Colorado.
Right.
Infections are all running around 500, 550 infections a day. These are about infections. You know, by the way, John, that we have somewhere around 80,000 to 90,000 flu infections diagnosed every single day in this country, while we have 30-some thousand COVID infections.
Wow.
I know that people are more worried about COVID, but I think we're going to have to go through this point where, you know, there are going to be people tested. They're going to be testing positive.
Right. Right.
They're not having symptoms. We should be thankful for the fact that they're not having symptoms and manage our way through
it. Enroll through. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I mean, I look at that exactly the same way. I mean, at what point, and this is a question I think that folks like yourself that are running for office are going to have to answer, because at what point do we just say COVID is here? We now have to learn how to manage and lead our way through this, knowing that it's not going anywhere, which means those of you that are at really high risk, you're going to have to be really careful. By the way, you're the same people that have to be careful not to catch the flu. So really, nothing's changed in their world. It's the rest of us, Steve, I think, that are having a problem, not those that are highly, you know, affected by it.
I think you're right. I mean, there's another factor here, and I went over this last night in a big healthcare meeting we had. You know, one out of 16 million people that fly are killed in an airplane crash.
Right.
We get on airplanes, and people are perpetually scared of flying, even though it's one out of 16 million. More than one person in America dies every minute of every day, 365 days a year, of cardiovascular disease. Why
are we not scared of that?
scared to death of 600,000 plus deaths in cardiovascular disease.
Right.
And instead, we're so afraid of COVID.
Yeah, and, I mean, and that same, and some of those same individuals, and I'm not trying to poke here, Steve. This is just a, I'm just being factual. Those same individuals that are afraid of COVID, yet what you just said about the cardiovascular disease, you know, heart attacks, 850,000 people a year die of some sort of heart failure in America, and yet the same person that's afraid of COVID will be at the drive-thru buying a Biggie French fry. To me, that doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, and 600,000+ people have cancer every year in the U.S. I mean, it's the pandemic, and it's, you know, rapid, and we had to slow it down. I think we've done a great job of slowing it down. I think parents who have kids that they're worried about their kids should be, you know, mindful. If they want to homeschool them. But
right.
In general, people going back to school are going to spread this virus to each other.
And that's, you know, not, and by the way, and I said this earlier, healthy. Steve, that's not a bad thing when it comes to how the virus works.
That's right. Herd immunity will come faster. We're going to have to get there somehow. I'm not suggesting that a whole bunch of people make each other sick, but I think we have to calm down a bit about 16 people getting, you know, positive for the virus and not one of them gets sick. They all are asymptomatic. Okay, great. That's wonderful. I mean, we should celebrate that. But there's going to be more infections. We've never encountered the number of infections in the flu, but there's almost 95,000 a day in a good flu season.
I would venture to guess that we are going to find ourselves in the not-too-distant future, if not now. We're already at that point to where we're now going to head into fall. We're going to see regular influenza, you know, increasing, which it does every single winter. By the way, for everybody listening, let me remind you all, we have deaths in America, in Colorado, from influenza on a regular basis as well, Steve. People die from bronchitis and all sorts of other related issues when it comes to the flu. And all we're going to do now is just add one more layer to things folks are dying from, COVID now being one of those additional things. And I'm not trying to take death lightly. Steve, you know me. I love people. I don't want anybody to die. But I also know this. I could save, if I was president or I was the guy in charge, I could save lives tomorrow by putting a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit all across this country and not allow people to hop in a car and drive any faster than that, and I would save countless lives every single year. The reality, though, Steve, is that's impractical because we all still need to go from A to B.
I know. It'd be 35,000 lives, by the way. There'd be nobody that died in a car accident, I think, except for being afraid. I think the flu thing is a good example, John, because I think much like COVID, you know, where there was the big discussion about, you know, is it 6% of the deaths are COVID by itself. You know, the other 94% are comorbidities of COPD, hypertension, et cetera, et cetera. I think what with the flu, it's very similar, right? I mean, people don't particularly die of the flu. They die of how the flu impacts a weakened immune system with other problems. And it's a very similar thing. And this is just another version
right.
Of the problem. I mean, it was pretty intense and it spread fairly fast. And I think the Chinese did a really, really bad job when they did it, but we've got to calm down about it and realize that infections are not deaths or hospitalizations, and there's going to be infections.
Well said. All right, well, come right back. Don't go anywhere. Steve House with us. Enchanted Kitchens is next. Make your kitchen that enchanted part of your home, and it's easy. You can do that by going to klzradio.com.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Franktown Firearms, and yes, they've got ammo. Yes, they have guns. We talked earlier with Steve even on all the people that are out buying guns. And you know what? If that's you and you want to buy a gun, they've got you handled. I will also say this. I'm not an advocate of anybody buying a gun that isn't trained on how to use it. Franktown has you covered there as well. Get the gun. get the ammo, and then get trained immediately. Franktown can do all of that. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve House with me today, and CD6. Steve, I need to ask, how's the campaign going? What's going on the campaign trail?
Great, and I'm actually at Windcrest right now, which is a retirement community in Highlands Ranch.
Gotcha.
I'm going to be going on there in internal TV and being interviewed by one of the local residents here, and then I've got a meet and greet, and I've got a radio show tonight with a couple of really, really intelligent black men. We want to talk about things like healthcare and stuff like that, so I'll be doing that later.
Got awesome. Okay, good stuff. Okay, I know the website houseforcolorado.com. That's the place to go. I'm assuming we're still, you know, winding things down. You still need some help financially, you know, door knockers, you name it. They can still help out, right?
Yes, and there's one other new project we got going on that I think a lot of people are more comfortable with, which is we're going to be dropping literature information at every small business in the district. So we've got people, if you don't like knocking on a residential door, you're uncomfortable with that, you know, walking into a business, handing them some special information that I want to provide to them about, you know, how businesses need to work and what we need to do. That's a great thing to do. It's really easy, and we need some people to do that as well.
Okay, so how do they get involved doing that? Just go to the website. What do they need to do?
Yep, they can just send an email on the website to the. There's an info email there. I get those emails, and then I traffic them to where they need to be.
Perfect. All right, so folks, again, go ahead. Go to House, H-O-U-S-E, House, just like it sounds, House 4, F-O-R, Colorado.com, and let's see if we can't get Steve, let's make sure I'm saying this positively, Steve. Let's get Steve elected for CD6. We need as many representatives heading into the 2021 year as possible. We need to get you elected.
Thank you. I appreciate that we do.
Real quick, before we let you go, what's your thoughts on SCOTUS and the pick this weekend? How do you think all that's going to go?
So, you know, obviously the president's going to do what 29 other presidents did,
right.
Which is he's going to make a pick during election year. I think that the Senate will confirm a pick. I had an interesting conversation yesterday, the day before, a reporter asked me the question about, you know, do you think it's right? And I said, well, first of all, the president's got a constitutional obligation, and the other 29 other times it happened, that person made a nomination. The Senate's then the one that has to decide, advise, and consent, right? And so in this particular case, he said, well, you know, so you think the Senate ought to go through with it? And I said, yeah. He said, what about 2016? I said, do you think 2016 was a mistake? And the reporter said, yes. Sorry, John. I think that the reporter said, I think they should have given Merrick Garland a hearing and a vote. And I said, well, I said, whether I agree with you or not, let's just assume for a minute you're right. If that's true, why would they make the same mistake this time? I mean, two mistakes, two wrongs don't make a right, right?
Right.
If it was wrong,
yeah, good
in 16,
point.
If it was wrong at 16, why would we?
So what did the reporter say to that? What was his or her answer?
He said, I don't really have a response to that. I said, okay, good.
because in reality, I kind of feel that way. I think if Mitch had gone through and done, you know, the basic analysis on Merrick Garland, and then they voted, and it turns out that the Republicans said no because, you know, he wasn't the choice of the Republican Senate, you know, that would have been fine. I think it would have worked out just fine, and I think they, in hindsight, they should have done it. But you can call it a mistake, but why make it twice in a row? It
good point.
Makes sense.
No, that's a great way to look at it. And I would also respond with, and by the way, you had a better response than me, because I would have said, well, number one, it's not the same scenario. The Senate wasn't that's controlled right. by the Democrats back then. It was controlled by the Republicans. And I would have probably answered and said, do you think that right now, if the Democrats held the Senate and Donald Trump put a nomination in being the Republican president, that the Democrats would vote on that particular nominee? The answer would be, of course they wouldn't. So really, 2016 would be 2020 if the Democrats controlled the Senate. The reality is they don't.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, even now, by doing it, by having Mitch in the Senate make a vote on it, you know, people can express their opinion about it from the Senate, from the Democrats' point of view. But I think we need to set the precedent that when a nominee is presented to the Supreme Court, whoever controls the Senate should at least do their due diligence and take a vote. They may have turned it down. They absolutely, I think, would have turned it down in 2016.
Right.
But I think, you know, you have to have a precedent. You have to stand by them. I just don't think two wrongs make a right.
I fully agree with that. Well said. All right. Again, House4Colorado.com, H-O-U-S-E, House4Colorado.com. Steve, as always, it's a joy having you. I know you got a lot of work to do. I won't take any more of your time. Let's get back at it. Get on the campaign trail. Let's win this thing.
I tell everybody out there to rush to reason because we need reason, John.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that very much. No, I do. And I do appreciate what Steve said. And I do my best to do that. I know at times it seems like I'm not rushing to reason, that I'm rushing to some sort of judgment and I'm not looking at all the facts. And I hope most of you know that, no, that's not the case. In fact, I will go all the way back to the beginning of COVID. And Charlie can attest to this. I was behind what President Trump said. Let's shut everything down for the 14 days, even the 30 days. Let's make sure that we're safe. Let's make sure we keep the people that are the most vulnerable safe. We didn't know exactly where things were going to go. And I was all on board with that. Let's make sure things are safe. But once we knew where we were headed and what was then happening to people because things were getting shut down too long, no, I jumped right back on the bandwagon of, if you need to be safe, you stay safe, but everybody else needs to get back to work, and let's get things back on track and make things happen. And that's how I saw COVID, and frankly, I see it the same way. I've got more to talk about on that when we come back. Just a minute or so left of the show when I come back from this next break. Judge Jeanine will be joining us at the 4 o'clock mark, so stay tuned for that as well. Purifier Chevrolet, those coming up next. No matter what you need when it comes to a vehicle, new, used, SUV, truck, sedan, whatever, you name it, they've got you covered. It's all at Purifier Chevrolet. You can find them online at purifierchevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purifier Chevrolet. But at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And yeah, again, real quick, Steve House, it's House for Colorado. It's F-O-R, houseforcolorado.com. Go there, see if you can help Steve get elected in CD6, one of the key races here in Colorado that we need to change out. We've also got Judge Jeanine Pirro joining us here at the top of the hour, so don't go anywhere. We'll have her as soon as we come back. And I got a lot more in store for you throughout the rest of the next 2 hours. So stay tuned. We'll be right back And this is Rush to Reason. Myself, Charlie Grimes. By the way, if it's 7 o'clock, you're listening to us, thank you so much. I do appreciate it very much. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday edition. Myself and Andy, plus movie reviews, will be sci-fi movies. But, hey, I'm back. Another couple hours coming your way. Hour 2 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.